lot went down while Mark was away filming Norway's top reality TV show, Alt for Norge. Trump and Roseanne Barr got crazier, and Brian Sweeney and I got exceptionally close. Today, Brian Sweeney joins us to find out more about Mark's great Norway adventure. Did any romantic hijinks unfold between the contestants? And more importantly, how did anyone survive without ganja?
Plus, why film universes like Marvel's are killing franchises like Star Wars.
Coco the Gorilla goes to Gorilla Heaven.
Folks are crying over the documentary on Mr. Rogers, Won't You Be My Neighbor?
And Oklahoma says okay to medicinal marijuana, and Vermont says you betcha to recreational. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Previously on Feast of Fun. Oh, Brian, these last 2 months without Mark have been terrible. Thank you so much for taking me on this very expensive vacation away from my troubles and woes.
Yeah, well, you know, anything for you, baby. Oh. Now, I brought this Reverend Paul Lind. He's here, and we're going to get married now.
Married?
That's right.
What?
I'm going to get married.
I'm married to Mark. I can't get married.
Mark is gone. You have to understand that. I'm the one who loves you now, and I get all that Feast of Fun fortune.
How did you hear that Mark was dead? No one said anything to me.
He's dead. Just forget about him. Paul Lind? Yes, hello, I'm Paul Lind, and I'm ready to marry you.
I thought Paul Lind was dead, too.
Shut up, Fausto. We're getting married.
I don't know if this is such a good idea, Brian.
Do you, Brian, take... Yeah, I take him. Now, you just get it. Yeah, Fausto, here, it's your turn now.
Okay.
Brian, hold on one second. This is how you take Fausto. Fausto, bend over. Listen, you guys.
No.
I own 51% of this podcast, and I'm calling this marriage off.
Oh, no.
Mark, you're here!
Mark Fillion!
I'm very grateful to you, Brian, for taking care of my husband while I'm gone, but unfortunately, your road as the co-host of this podcast is now over. I want to thank you. You can stick around as the sidekick.
Curses foiled again by Mark
Fillion. Or maybe you and I could tape a couple podcasts by ourselves.
Yeah. And what about me? What about Reverend Paul Lind?
Oh, just go put on your caftan and have a cocktail, and we'll meet you by the pool.
Way ahead of you. Glug, 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 glug.
Mark, you're back!
Yay. I'm back.
Brian Sweeney's reign of terror is over.
Yay. Seriously, though, Brian, thank you so much for taking care of my husband while I was gone. I hope he wasn't too misbehaved.
Mm-hmm. Well, you make me sound like I was like a child with special needs or something.
Kind of. But he did miss you quite a bit.
I know.
Mark didn't miss me at all. No. Just to be very
clear.
Well,
the psychiatrist told me, because we met with psychiatrists, and they said, just so you know, it's like people back home usually, like, they have more of a hard time with you gone than you being gone.
Well, you're on an adventure, whereas Fausto was staying static. Well, yes. You went
on
to
adventures.
Yeah. Fausto
I went to an undisclosed location myself. But we cannot talk about that yet.
Saudi Arabia.
To Saudi Arabia, where I put on lots of women's clothes and entertained the troops.
Yes. And you romanced the king.
And he said,
stole the jewels.
Give me your heart, Fausto, and I will give you these crown jewels. Woo. You are not allowed to leave this country. And I said, oh, Prince. I have to go back home. Those are the people that love me, and my husband is waiting for me.
The friends of Meg Grunewald, Katie Reif. Carmen, wasn't?
Mm-hmm. Carmen Nybarger.
Yeah, she was here. Robin Panaccia, the great. And, of course, our new best friend, Scott Thompson.
Yay. What? Scott Thompson came on the podcast from Kids in the Hall.
Wow. And then we were...
And he made out with Brian Sweeney and said, marry me.
Well, you guys went and saw his show, right?
Yes, front row.
How was it?
I think the highlight of the show was when Scott Thompson, or Buddy Cole, turned to Brian Sweeney and said, touch me, Brian. Yeah. Touch me where I haven't been touched before.
It's so good. It was
the whole show as Buddy Cole?
Yes. Yeah, it was the Buddy Cole. It was the Buddy Cole monologue.
Wow, how long was the show? Tell me about it.
An hour?
Well, he hasn't done that many monologues, so it was about 5 minutes long.
Yeah. He did one monologue.
He's like, that's it, folks. Thanks for coming.
No, it's it took place from the end of the Kids in the Hall, so 1995 or 4, to present day. So it's like a... it was just a group of monologues. It was amazing. It was wonderful. It was just seeing Buddy Cole live in
person.
And who
showed up? Was it the straight people? Was it all straights?
No. Well, I mean, there's some straights, but there were gays there and bears. There were a lot of bears.
Bears like the Cole.
There was a guy. There was a gay guy. I think he was gay, but he looked exactly like Donald Trump, and I'm not making a joke. He looked,
wow.
and it seemed very unfortunate in this atmosphere.
And he had that hair.
Yeah, he looked exactly like Donald Trump.
The only
was it Justin Jedlicka's first husband? Because he looked a lot like Trump.
He might have been. No, I don't think it was his first husband, but it could have been. Yeah,
We're assuming Justin's ever going to find a second husband
after that one. Brian and I were in the front. Brian was like wanting to sit in the back row, and I was like, Brian, you have to sit in the front row. That way, he can see you, and he can perform to you.
Yeah, Fausto is pushy, which is in like a good way. Like
Fausto always likes to sit in the front, and I think it's a lesson I learned. You get more out of the performance a lot of time when you're up close for it.
Now, if I know the performance is going to suck, I'm in the back row ready to ditch it. So if you see me at a show and you see me sitting in the back, you know that I'm very apprehensive about it. Just to clarify.
Or we came in very late and didn't get...
No, it's usually we're late because we know the show's going to suck, and so we're... it's a cascading event. If I know the show's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience that it's going to blow my mind, I want to sit right in the front row. And it was something really extraordinary seeing Scott Thompson, like, kill himself because he had done, like, 4 shows back-to-back... And he was exhausted, and his mind was just slipping on what he was supposed to do next.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And we got to see bloopers.
So that was
kind
really
of bloopers?
Great.
Like just forgetting lines and just having to. So it was like real, like improv and stuff. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pink Starburst. That's
I saw Brian. Brian has a type 1 diabetes, right?
I do.
The best kind of diabetes.
So I just
right?
handed a fistful of candy to Brian because he was. Looking for his candy.
Yes, thank you so much.
Brian and I have grown very close together since you were gone, Mark. And
as you
know,
heard, we almost got married.
You almost got married. Yeah.
Except, we're a truple now.
Foster and I talked about that the other night in bed. We were just like, could you ever see that happening with us? And I thought to myself, no.
I would have to murder the person, the third person.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem...
Hide
like,
the body.
I know some people, like if that's your thing, that's your thing, but... It always seems to go down to 2 people or even 1 person. Like the 3 people, like just sharing a bed, I don't know how sustainable that is.
Mm-hmm. I've seen people in group marriages and group relationships, and I have close friends that are in that scenario. And I would be dishonest if I didn't think they're a little, fruity or kooky or, off their rocker to be going into something very unconventional. But I'm queer, I'm LGBT, I'm gender nonconforming, and so it's very hypocritical of me to impose my desires and my experiences on somebody else who wants to have something different than what I'm going through. And so... With Mark and I am very happy with our duality, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for other people who are interested in different kinds of romantic relationships and friendships, it's okay to not want
to
impose that on them.
And that's not to say I don't like, I do like a third.
Every now and then.
Yeah, but that's
I don't know if
thing.
I can sustain it over years because I feel like that they would just, they'd want something else eventually.
That's
right?
The thing of what I've seen of like a... 3 people in 1 relationship, it seems like it's always the 2 are the power, like the power couple or whatever, and then there's one that's more of like a satellite that they're like, it's understood this is more of like the plaything.
Because
it's also like...
Yeah.
It's
the
like,
maid you fuck.
It's also like a weird thing because like life is so like... How you don't have time? How do you have time? And like, why would you want to have a one-on-one conversation and like get your heart out, and then you have to go to another person and retell everything that you did, or like, you're like, how was work? And it's like, oh, we can't talk about it until the other person gets home. because I have a lot to say, and I got to get it all off my chest. That's just why it feels
like... Well, there's so many different permutations of those possibilities, and a lot of, some people make it work for themselves, but, you know, again, it's often like, you know, it can be a couple that's been together for a few years, a third one comes in, and, like, the primary couple, they stop having sex, but they still have that bond.
That's what I'm saying, you know? Is it feels... I don't know how long it can actually sustain itself until it... Just like there's a... I forget who what theory it is, but it's about the political parties, how regardless of how many political parties you have, it'll always come down to two.
Well, you could do representational. You know, that's a whole different ballgame. It's first past the post, right?
No, it's so politics, not ballgame.
Winner takes all. You're going to inevitably have two political parties that are very similar politically to each other. And sort of the balance of power flips back and forth. But, you know, today's show is What I Missed, and Mark, you missed.
Yeah, what did I miss?
Scott Thompson, Brian Sweeney interviewing Misunderstood, drag queens like Coco Chanel, Bianca Del Rio.
Brian, what did you learn from Misunderstood?
About New York drag. Oh, we talk about the 90s and just 90s fashion, or not fashion.
It was about the outrageous performance artists in the 90s and how... if viewed through the lenses of today, they would be so well received. Yeah. And in context of the controversy over the Shang Sam, the Chinese traditional dress that the white woman wore for a prom, and that it was very divisive on the internet, but we were pointing out that a lot of the divisive content came from people with vested interest in getting progressive people to fight amongst each other.
Oh, you aren't. Yeah. Have you not seen Infinity War, Mark?
I have seen Infinity War.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Oh, I was just wondering if you missed that.
No, I saw Infinity War before we left.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
And while I was gone, I actually
did a show of Infinity War.
I got to see Deadpool 2. I got to see the Han Solo movie.
Oh, you saw
that.
And
I also saw Jurassic Park.
Ooh, the dinosaurs.
When the dinosaurs explode.
Yes.
So, what did you think about the Solo movie?
I really, you know, I feel like the relationship between the Han Solo and the girl, his love interest, wasn't very well developed in the beginning, so we didn't really care about that relationship very much, I don't think. Also, too, we didn't really care about the rebellion, because, like, if you were just walked into this movie, you wouldn't have known what the rebellion was, you wouldn't know what it stand for, you didn't know any of these rebellion leaders, so him all of a sudden working with them didn't seem like... it didn't seem all that plausible.
So there were a lot of things that were established that the movie took for granted.
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
How's that candy, Brian?
Like, Solo's a bad movie.
you feel like Solo's not going to inspire the Star Wars franchise to explore the story of Han Solo any further?
Oh, absolutely not. It's already lost hundreds of millions of dollars, but... The movie was originally, the directors were Lord and Miller, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who did the Lego movie and the 21 Jump Street movies, and they got fired like halfway through, and Ron Howard was just brought in to make it. And this is the third, since Disney has acquired Star Wars, The Force Awakens almost killed Harrison Ford. And they had to shut down production.
How did they almost kill him?
There's a scene where on the Millennium Falcon where the steel door comes down really hard, and it came too fast, and it broke his ankle and shattered it. But
holy shit!
It came down so hard that if he had been just a few inches or whatever over, it would have just murdered him. And anyway, so they had to shut down production on The Force Awakens, and that's the one that worked. And when they were shut down, they redid everything in the script, and so they just remade the movie before they went back to it. Then the next one was Rogue One, and with that, the movie that they turned in was again taken away from the director and rewritten, and they had a ghost director put in, and that's why a lot of the trailer scenes are not in the movie, and that's why a lot of the movie doesn't make sense. Episode 9, The Last Jedi, was the only one that sort of had smooth going, and then this happened. They fired the directors in the middle of the making of the movie, and Ron Howard came in and made the rest of the movie. Episode 9 had Colin Trevorrow attached as director, who directed Jurassic World, And he was fired from episode 9, and J.J. Abrams came back, even though he didn't want to make it. So episode 9 is the one that's coming out, and it's being made by J.J. Abrams, who didn't want to make it in the first place. It's just, it's a tough thing, and it shows, like, Marvel is a very singular thing, because Kevin Feige, the guy who runs all the Marvel productions, he makes it look easy, I guess, but it's very insulting to him that they feel like there's no such thing. It's not about talent or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's this mathematical formula of everyone just wants shared universes, and it has nothing to do with, it's the same like lesson of, like,
because it's a good business move,
but it's not, as it's been shown, like, it's destroying
the, well, it works for Marvel, right?
Yeah, it's worked for
but
one,
but doesn't work for DC Comics.
No, it hasn't worked for DC. It destroyed DC. It didn't work for The Mummy, for the Dark Universe that was destroyed last time. The Transformers movie, is Bumblebee, is coming out this summer. We'll see. But they've tried these shared universes since Marvel, and it's never worked, except for Marvel.
But there's so many, like, you know, with Star Wars, there's so many, the books have been super popular, the TV series, the Clone Wars has been popular, you know, even the shitty movies that George Lucas made, those were still kind of popular. So it's like, why not exploit that for all it's worth?
Yes, well, because there's a way to go about it that, like Marvel, and still make it interesting and hire interesting people, but have an idea of where the production is supposed to be going, but still taking risks, quote unquote. Like, but instead they're hiring like Lawrence Kasdan, who literally wrote The Empire Strikes Back. Like, he wrote Solo, and he's 70. And
I'll do it for like half the money. I'm just saying, Brian and I,
that's the thing. There's like,
and Mark, we will do it for like half of that $80 million. We'll do it for $40 million.
It's the problem with like,
I don't understand like this whole idea of like, let's just drive a dump truck full of money to J.J. Abrams, who's already rich and loaded. And he really doesn't want to do that. You know, it's like he has no motivation for this to succeed.
But J.J. Abrams was already in the family, and he was already a producer on it. So that's why, it's the same reason why Peter Jackson did the Hobbit trilogy, because he was part of it. He was a producer. He didn't want to make it. Guillermo del Toro was supposed to do it, but he dropped out like a few months before shooting was going to start. So Peter Jackson was like, fine, I'll do it because I'm a producer and it's like part of the production company, and like if I don't, it's gonna fuck everything up. So we got three movies by a guy that didn't want to make these three movies. And so it's also just like the trailers for Solo didn't sell it well. It showed, like, it was really weird that Han Solo never seemed like he was scared for 1 second. There was no, like, personal moments that where you cared about anyone, but, like, this is a movie with Woody Harrelson, Tandy Newton, and Donald Glover, and they were able to not have, like, any of the charm. They were able to have Donald Glover be charmless. Woody Harrelson was charmless. Like, it was just, I don't know, like, it was like watching it and nothing happened. Like, it didn't matter whatsoever.
Right.
And yeah, like, it wasn't one way or the other where, like, I hate this or, like, I love this. It was just, like, whatever.
And then he sees the love of his life, you know, and this thing, like, after all these years, and just, like, he's like, they're both, like, nonplussed.
The problem with that, with having the Emilia Clarke be, like, the love of his life, is we know what's going to happen. Like, we know that she's not going to be around for because Princess Leia comes in, and like, we've met the Han Solo in the future. So like, she's either being set up to die in the next one or the one after that, but she has to be gotten rid of. And so like, that's not bad that we know what's going to happen. Cause that doesn't matter. What matters is the interesting stuff is how it happened.
Yeah. So like, what made Han Solo Han Solo, and why did he have that relationship with Leia?
Yeah.
And you explain what this Kessel run is in the Solo movie?
Not really. Like,
in 12
apparently
parsecs.
It was a way, like, instead of, and we always thought it was like a race. That's another problem. Like, when with Star Wars, like, the things we would hear about were like the Kessel run, and like Obi-Wan and Darth Vader or Anakin, like, would, when they had like their big fight on a lava planet, and then so like, it, in our heads, it's so much cooler than they could ever make it to be. And a lot of times it's just much better to just leave well enough alone, unless you have like a really, really good idea. And in this, it was like, instead of flying in space from this planet with stolen spice or whatever, well, mm-hmm. the Kessel mines, or with stolen whatever it is, the shit, the MacGuffin that doesn't matter that no one cares about, they went a different way and almost got eaten by, like, a space slug, and then
right.
a black hole erupted. And by the way, all of this happens, and it's boring as hell. Like, that's the weird, like, so much happens. It's like the Star Trek Discovery problem of, like, you can show everything amazing, but it doesn't wow us anymore because the personal is what wows us. It's why, like, Infinity War is so, like, gut-wrenching.
Because there's so much loss and pain.
Yeah,
and
but it's about the characters.
Yeah.
Like, when you show, like, gigantic things in Infinity War, it doesn't mean as much as, like, one of the characters, like, falling into dust or something like that. Like, small moments.
Well, and you know, we're contemplating this on another podcast episode that's going to be airing later this week with Damon L. Jacobs, that part of the reason why Star Trek Discovery is unsatisfying is because we see a lot of conflict that never gets resolved. It just gets perpetuated and bumped onto the next episode. And what makes a lot of these fantasy films and TV series so appealing is seeing that conflict come to some kind of resolution. Well, and it's a reflection of our times, you know. I mean, Mark, you were gone. It must have been very refreshing to have not dealing with American politics.
That was probably one of the nicest things about getting away for so long is that we were in a bubble, and I think I saw Donald Trump on the news like twice the whole time I was there.
So when you came back and you saw that we were putting babies in cages in the concentration camps, were you like, oh.
Did it surprise me? Not at all.
You thought you were like, that's it? You thought it'd be much worse by this point. You thought you'd return to, like, Mad Max, where, like, Tina Turner is just singing in the middle of a Thunderdome.
Yeah, something like that. But I guess I had heard a little bit about the children in cages.
I'm just laughing about Tina Turner's outfit.
I just love that.
I just say, you know, when I was a child, I used to draw Tina Turner.
Don't
over
tell
and
me
over.
About the rules. I made the rules.
We don't need another hero. She was my first drag inspiration.
Oh, yeah. Without
a doubt. Master Blaster.
Master Blaster.
So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. But, you know, you also have to remember, I mean, having these people separated, but you also have to remember, too, is like, you know, we have had a long history of terrible policies on immigration. And so, you know, it's no surprise that we've continued that. I mean, how many people did Obama deport?
So how often did you jack off?
So, seriously, how often did I jack off?
Yeah.
I got very fast.
And you didn't have a phone. Let's
right.
have it. So, like,
no porn.
You didn't have internet. You
no
had
sex
just,
with anybody.
You had to look at just fjords
I have to say,
and cheese
yeah.
and wooden shoes and jack off.
So, most of the people shared rooms and stuff. Like, we had to share rooms a lot.
They didn't give you guys your own privacy?
So when we first got there for the first couple of days, we had our own rooms because they kept us separated.
Did they separate the genders?
Yes.
But there were a bunch of gay dudes.
But that's...
Waka waka.
Yeah.
And
gay men won't have sex with each
spoiler
other.
Spoiler alert.
And I, for whatever reason, more often than not, was able to carve out my own little place to sleep.
Literally? You had to carve it out of, like, a tree?
You were like a hamster.
Or I just also got, you know, cardboard. Whatever, if we were staying in a hotel room or whatever, sometimes it was, you know... It was just, I often got to have my own space, which was nice. And when I didn't have my own space, I just kind of waited for other people to, like, leave.
And then you jacked yes. it?
Of course I did.
Who'd you think of?
What
me?
Fausto?
Han Solo?
Thor?
Do you go through, like, your Rolodex of past sexual experiences
sometimes.
When you jerk it?
Sometimes, yes. But not
just
often.
Like you, Brian.
It's no, you, everyone does it. And, yeah. like, what's weird about that is some of those took place before you were 18, so you're thinking of, like, a 15-year-old, and you're jacking it. Like, and so,
oh,
like,
yeah.
that brings up some weird things mm-hmm. that we should talk about.
Well,
well, part of it is, like, you know, a lot of the contestants are attractive, charismatic mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
And I imagine...
Especially you.
And especially Mark. And I imagine that you guys being isolated from each other, mm-hmm. it is sort of like being at summer camp that, you know... Mm-hmm. affection for each other would develop, and as inevitably the contestants get eliminated, there's a lot of heartbreak as
there's
well.
There's a lot of elimination everywhere.
All I know is, like, Siri, every time I try and write elimination, it always wants to write
Illumination.
Mm.
So it's very hard to get Siri to write Illumination. So I had to go into my keyboard and I made, because I never write the word Illumination. So I'm just going to, Illumination equals Elimination.
So we'll see whether or not, you know, any kind of sexual shenanigans unfolded in a very...
Yeah, are there going to be like a montage of you just jacking it?
Norgay.
Oh, how do you get away from the cameras to jack it?
Well, they're not on you all the time. Oh. So, when you go to sleep at night, you're okay, right?
Did you ever say, like, hey, I gotta take a shit? Or, like, what do you do when you have to be alone? Like, do you say, like, I gotta take a shit, but really you start jacking it?
Let's see. I mean, there is the bath. I mean, people jerk off in the bathroom and shower all the time, right? Don't they?
They don't film me while you're taking a shit.
Yeah. Do you jerk off at the camera? Have you ever just, like, did you, like, shoot loads at them so that they would get away from you?
Sent you? You want to see it, Brian?
If it's in the movie, if it's in the show, I want to see the reality show. I want to see you just jerking off at these people.
High in 4K television footage. Well, no. A lot of the contestants do swing both nor gay.
Nice.
Well, there was
nor hey.
There's people that identify and, you know,
as gender non-conforming, kind of sexual thing. Non-conforming,
so, you know, that kind of, yeah.
And non-conforming, so, non-conforming.
But, you know, a lot of us would talk about, like, how horny we were, though. But, like, I don't know if, you know, I don't know.
And you were like, you know,
you
there's
don't
a
know
way to.
If something happened with the other contestants. And so we're going to be seeing the show unfold. All we know is what you saw.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so like,
and so
if, like,
there's 12 other contestants. Who knows what kind of fucked up shit unfolded there?
But there's probably gossip, right? You're like, Carol and Bill fucked or whatever. Like, you guys are like, I'm pretty sure they fucked.
Well, I can just say I know that there's some stuff that, you know,
occurred.
I don't think
life changing experiences.
I don't think that
it's Norway.
I don't think they got much action. We were also very busy most of the time. So
what happens in Norway stays in Norway.
Some people made out with some people, and things happened for sure.
Were you stinky?
There were some days when I wasn't the freshest, but I probably didn't go more than 2 days without bathing.
So did you have to bathe or were there showers, or did you take a bath?
Shower. There were showers.
How are the showers?
Just like normal? Showers, like here.
Did they have refrigerators in Norway?
Did they?
What kind of questions are you asking?
I don't know. I'm wondering how like the toilets are. Like I'm wondering.
They flush really well there.
They
have a
flush
lot
the
of
other
water.
Way.
No, they have a lot of water there.
they flush Norway's.
They had a lot of, like, when you were in bars and clubs and stuff like that. They had a lot of, like, the urinals that were just kind of like a trough.
So with just a bunch of ice.
Well, Norway is the country where Frozen is inspired by, right? Did you have did anyone ask you about Let It Go?
Did they have like landmarks? So like, this is where Elsa sang.
No.
They don't just really do that.
There's very little Elsa presence there. I think they squash it down. I think
you got to boost up your Elsa presence.
They just, you know, for them, they don't like it's not the reality. It's like it's Disney. They have their own fairy tales.
And that's an American company.
They might also resent it because the guy who wrote it, Hans Christian Andersen, was Danish. And there's, there's rivalry between the Norwegians.
Or knows she better don't.
Yeah. There's rivalry between, like, the Scandinavian countries. And I'm part Norwegian, but I'm also part Swedish and Danish. And when you tell, like, Norwegians that, it was like they'd be happy that you were part Norwegian. Then as soon as you tell them you're part Swedish or Danish, they're like, oh.
So this is kind of like the white friendly white rivalry islands. Between Mexico, Puerto Rico, and Brazil
similar.
During the World Cup and stuff like that.
So, like, when you saw, when you first
Portugal,
like, a snowman singing, were you weirded out, or were you just like, oh, this is just, I know about
it's normal.
This. Yeah, you were like, that's fine. You know?
It's fine.
It was the moose, though, that was really, or the elk that was the most fun.
Was there a Kristoff that was hunky?
Did I meet a hunky Kristoff? I would probably say yes. Yes.
I'll have to say yes.
I like that.
His moose
Mark's,
knuckles.
Mark's like body language is like, God, I wish I never came back.
So,
did
so,
you meet a snowman or a moose? I ate a moose.
Ooh,
you did.
Yeah.
You did.
What
have
was
moose
his name?
I had an opportunity. I could have eaten whale too if I.
Go on. I'm sorry.
And then they also eat whale in Norway. Did you know that?
Shit.
They're one of the few countries that actually hunt whale. So them in Japan.
How was it?
I didn't eat whale, though.
How was moose?
Moose tough. Was it was part of like a sausage, like they make sausage out of it. So I had reindeer.
Europeans
elk.
Love sausage.
They do love sausage.
You can put anything in a sausage and get away with
put
it.
Put that sausage anywhere.
In Norway, they really like their cured meats. So often for breakfast, a typical breakfast for a Norwegian would be a piece of bread with maybe some butter or just cheese on it and some cured meat.
With like syrup and stuff?
No. Maybe some tomato on it. Uh-huh. Or what they really love to put on their sandwiches, of all things, is red pepper. So little pieces of red pepper and cucumbers. Not pickles, cucumbers. Little slices of cucumbers. And then they eat it with a fork and a knife. And that is your breakfast.
So is corn, like, not really that big of a thing there? Because corn's, like, so American.
The weird thing about corn is it shows up in the weirdest places. It shows up in salads. Like, you have a salad, and then there's corn in it. Which is, like, you know, I've had it here in the United States with corn in my salad. But there, it just seemed different. And their kernels were big. Big corn kernels, yeah.
GMO.
What was there? So, you know, obviously a lot of talk about Trump putting separating families and putting children in cages. And of course, Trump met with King Jong-un, the North Korean dictator, and promised that the United States would stop the military exercises in South Korea without consulting the other nations, Japan, which led to a lot of concern. Considering then now there's reports that North Korea has gone back to producing nuclear weapons in exchange for nothing, and so a lot of political experts are saying that Trump's presence, meeting with Kim Jong-un, actually escalated the possibility of a nuclear war.
Surprise, right?
And then just recently, Supreme Court Judge Kennedy has been revealed that his son was loaned over $1 billion to Donald Trump through his job as a banker at Deutsche Bank, the Russians' favorite money laundering bank. And I guess Donald Trump met with Kennedy and
the MTV VJ?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Kennedy is suddenly, according to other political experts, he was not expected to resign.
Really?
He actually had hired his crew for the following year. And all of a sudden, Kennedy is saying, I'm resigning. And Trump can assign any kind of judge that will allow Trump to pardon himself.
Coincidence.
Well, see, the thing is though, I think Trump can only pardon himself for, like, federal things, but I think they feel like then New York might be able to prosecute him on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, but the Supreme Court is about to see a case that might change that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, we also lost net neutrality.
Oh, that happened?
So that was fun.
So it's been overturned, and so now we're starting to see, like, Comcast, for example, is throttling video resolution speeds for their customers.
Ah.
So no longer it's a high definition. You're going back to standard definition. And, you know, a lot of disappointing things. But, you know, so far, people's ability to listen to the podcast is still there.
Mm-hmm. Hereditary is a scary movie.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about Hereditary.
We met Scott Thompson. Samantha Bee called Ivanka the C word, and then of course liberals apologized that we would do such a thing. That was like 2 days before we found out that there were babies in cages. There was a couple. Oh yeah, Michelle Wolf went to the correspondents' dinner and said things about Sarah Huckabee, so we apologized for that.
Coco the sign language gorilla went to gorilla heaven. And there's been a lot of controversy over the legacy of Coco the Gorilla, with former handlers coming forward and saying that the foundation exaggerated the gorilla's skills to communicating. Mm-hmm. And if you guys remember listening to the podcast, was it
five or 6 years ago, I'd say it probably was.
There was a scandal because some of the female handlers were being asked by the gorilla to show their breasts in order to bond with Coco.
They were suing for sexual harassment.
Correct. Yeah,
but I feel like the Me Too movement has gotten out of control. When Coco the gorilla.
Well, Coco, so I guess it's being discussed that the foundation, the people who are translating Coco to the female grad students or volunteers may have been exaggerating Coco's desire to see the breasts.
Yeah.
And
Coco didn't really say, shake them titties, girl. Put them on the glass.
Right, exactly. You know, that's what they, maybe that's what they're thinking.
Roseanne got canceled. And yeah. then
well,
and now
what happened? She had some kind of weird ambient dream or something like that. She wrote up and did some like racist rant. What happened?
She posted a racist
she said that Loretta Lynch, she compared Loretta Lynch to
Planet
of the Apes. And so suddenly everyone was like, we had no idea that she was a mean, bad person. So they canceled her.
And there was episodes that hadn't even aired yet, right?
No, they all... Well, they were starting work on season two.
Oh, okay.
But don't worry, because they're coming back with the Connors.
Without her.
Yeah.
And how are they going to write her off?
Who gives a shit?
They're going to kill her off. A truck's going to run over, and that's about it.
A few days before that, we were talking about Apu on The Simpsons is racist, and that was bad.
And so what's going to happen with Apu? Because like, even the guy who does the Apu voice is kind of like, yeah,
he's ready to retire that. So
they retired that like 2 years ago. They barely had, but that was also like right before Roseanne, and then right before Samantha Bee called Ivanka the C word. But so everyone, like people get it, things just yeah. Oh, the Christopher Robin trailer. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh my God. Yeah, that should make you cry.
Because Christopher Robin is an adult, right?
Yes.
So what's the deal with that?
What's the premise of it?
As an adult, and he comes back, and like his toys are. He goes back to the. Like, what is it?
Not sure, but Winnie the Pooh and the woodland creatures, the 100-acre wood creatures. Like, it's kind of. It looks like Paddington, along with if you saw the Spike Jones Where the Wild Things Are type of thing, but the trailer, yeah.
So there's a blur between the fantasy and the real in this reboot of Winnie the Pooh.
And we met Scott Thompson. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal.
Man, you're so in love with Scott Thompson. I do appreciate that, because Scott Thompson's been a very important figure in my life, too.
What was it like interviewing Bianca Del Rio?
Amazing. Well, she was on the phone, and she's very on message. She's very professional, so it's hard to get.
What does bother me is that she is very. You ask her a question, and she goes. She doesn't necessarily answer the question. Sometimes she goes into her sort of her. You know,
it's the politician
response.
Thing.
Yeah. And so Brian, I think it was good having Brian in that interview, because he kind of jostled her out of her complacency and got her to actually think and talk about her writing process as a comedian, which is something that I always want to see happen in any interview with anyone. So it was really great actually having Brian. But, you know, some of the listeners were like, really sad that you were here.
I know.
And they were really like missing your kind, gentle, soothing presence.
Others said, what an improvement this Brian guy is. And I said, no, Mark is great. And they said, but you're wonderful. And I said, well, come on, guys. So some people wanted to change the show called Brian Sweeney's Feast of Fun, featuring Fausto Fairness.
Oklahoma said okay to legalize medical marijuana, and becoming the 30th state to do so.
Awesome.
And the state of Vermont said yes to recreational marijuana.
Oh, nice. Fun.
You were 2 months without any ganja.
Oh. I didn't smoke pot. As a matter of fact, I think we may have been talking about it, and one of the people that was like our attendants, the mamas, they called them, watched over us. We were like, by the way, there's no smoking marijuana or pot.
Is it
we
illegal?
We don't do that here.
It's illegal in Norway?
It is decriminalized.
Oh.
But they did not want us
to. They didn't want it on the camera.
They did not want us
it
to.
It makes
smoke
bad
pot.
Television. And as you know, a podcast, when the guests are stoned, it's really bad.
Yeah, yeah. But also, too, I think for them, it was also, you know, it's in some ways, being on a show like this it's akin to torture. You're sleep deprived.
Oh, please.
You're sleep deprived. You're cold. You're wet.
Cold?
Yeah.
Because you're going to... But you're back in the hotel outside, at night.
Not always.
Oh, really? You were camping in tents?
You're
and
camping
stuff.
And you're waiting for things to happen. It's a lot of sitting around and waiting for things.
Camping is intense.
You know? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also... and so, yeah. No, it's physical. You're eating strange food. It's hard. It's not all
you know,
easy.
I'm just realizing...
People are like, oh, you must have had a nice vacation. I'm like... You know, you might. In some ways, it was a vacation, but in other ways, it was still pretty grueling.
In other ways, there was no weed. So, like, what did you do? What did you do to get high? Did you like?
I drank more.
You drank a lot.
I did.
You just did shrooms. Just cocaine.
And had I known, had I known where to get marijuana when I first arrived there, I probably would have gotten some.
And the shrooms have little blue creatures that live inside them, right?
Well, you know,
I know that's Danish. The Smurfs. Huh? I was making a Smurfs
but
joke.
Those magic mushrooms and everything that's part of the whole. Those little
Siberian.
Mushrooms. The red mushrooms.
Psilocybin. Is that what
with
you
the
meant?
White on top? The psychedelic ones. Mm-hmm. That's part of like Norse mythology and a part
Hell
of Christmas.
Yeah.
That's why they have them. Like if you see Christmas stuff, those are the magic mushrooms that if you take them, they make you feel like you're gonna fly.
So could you have gotten up like when someone was giving you your sausage with cheese or whatever? Mm-hmm. Could you have been like, hey, also put on some fucking psilocybin mushrooms so I can get fucked up?
No, Norwegians like to drink.
What do they drink? Mead.
Mead is one of the things they do drink, but mostly.
Did you drink mead?
No, I did not. I have mead here, though. I almost brought some mead with me to be like, here, have some mead. Beer and aquavit is like they're kind of like
Aquafina.
Aquavit is like a caraway flavored alcohol. I know.
Mark kept he brought a bottle of that stuff home, mm-hmm. and he was like offering it to everybody, like, would you like some aquavit? And we're like, ugh. No,
people liked it.
It's delicious.
Yeah, and so
you were still drinking heavily.
It's like I had to taper off. Like, listen, if you
don't want a cold turkey,
if you're drinking a lot, it's like over an extended period of time, it's hard to like go cold turkey.
It's not healthy for
you. It's not necessarily healthy. Yeah, and so I was just like, I need to be like, I'm my own rehab here. So you want to taper off. You don't want to just kind of like stop all of a sudden.
What is aquavit? Is it like
so?
Kombucha?
It's basically it's vodka, but it has like a caraway flavor to it.
Hmm.
You know, caraway. I have a little bit. You can take a little sip. Because I know you're not a drinker.
Aquavit.
Should we do it now? Here, I'll get you a little teaspoon of it.
Okay.
And we can register Brian's reaction to it. Okay, Brian, you ready to taste some aquavit?
All right. Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
I don't think I've ever seen you take a shot of anything.
I've never seen you.
I don't know if I've ever.
You don't drink.
I've taken shots before, I guess.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's like minty. I don't know.
Pass me some of that.
It's kind of minty.
Yeah, pass me a little bit of bottle.
Mint.
I want to taste it now
there's
that
no
I'm not.
In there. It's caraway.
I want to.
What? Caraway is a mint.
Caraway is not a mint.
Caraway, what is it? A fruit?
Caraway is like what
like
you put in like pickle juice.
Oh,
or something.
It's like anise.
It's anise.
No, anise.
It's not like
anise.
It's not like that at
okay,
all.
Okay, I'm drinking it now. So everybody, be quiet.
So, Brian, you actually watched. Yeah, did you like
it? I said
it?
Be quiet.
How was it?
It's actually. You know
it's
what?
It's warm.
The weirdest thing. I tasted this. And I just got a deja vu.
Let me have a little bit of that.
It's
and
good.
I thought,
it is good.
Do you know what I thought?
What?
I thought about you.
Aww.
I was like, I associated the scent and flavor with you.
Oh. All those eye rolls that Mark's been doing, and now Fausto's like,
This actually smells like my dad's aftershave, electroshave.
We don't want to tell you, but we've actually switched it with your dad's aftershave. This has been a joke. You never went to Norway.
I was on the show with a guy named Evan, and he was he played Captain Kirk's nephew's love interest.
Blood and Fire,
and did
the
you actually,
David Gerald episode.
Did you watch the show?
The Star Trek episode.
No. But I heard of it.
Are you not into the Star Trek fan fiction?
It's very well done. I'm excited. I really wanted to love it, but I was never able to get into it.
Okay. We watched an episode.
For me is very not good.
Yeah, the pacing was very slow.
And it was really exciting that they like made it and it was so like beloved. Like, or it's like belovedly done with everything perfect, but no. And I really would. The Blood and Fire episode, the David Gerald episode that he was in, has always been a mythical kind of like it's gone down in the mythology of Star Trek that it was supposed to be in Next Generation, and it was very much about AIDS, and they like refused to, or like they
wouldn't wear it.
It wasn't like refused, but it was like nicely saying like, we can't do this, David. And so
millions of people are dying throughout the world. We can't do this.
Yeah. But, well, yeah.
Well, also because they wanted to have a gay couple on it, right?
Yeah, but I think, and I think that like they tried to figure mm-hmm. out like a way to do it, but there is like, and I think that David Gerald even says like, I get it, mm-hmm. like, you know, it's, yeah. I mean, it is a different world than like mm-hmm. 1988 or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just yeah. to be like, hi, we're two dudes and we're gay and we have AIDS and stuff is, you know, that's a lot.
Well, Evan says that he had it was a difficult shoot for him. He was also very young when he did it. And he's also, like, said he's trying to live it down. But I'm just kind of like, I personally feel like you should celebrate it. Because, like, once you're an actor and you get into science fiction, it's so much easier to kind of stay in that genre and move forward and make a way to do it, you know?
Evan, this is a badge of honor! Support your Klingon brothers and embrace the Star Trek franchise, even if it's a fan fiction franchise. Patach.
Patach. Patach is an insult.
Well, he just insulted them. That's,
yeah. Well, because you need to embrace your Star Trek yes. heritage. If I was on Star Trek, I wouldn't shut up mm-hmm. about it.
You know who was on Star Trek? Scott Thompson. And we talked about what his episode.
Fausto told me he was, I want to hear about that. So Fausto says that he was actually very excited you guys asked about that.
Yeah.
Did it make his mother proud or something?
It was his mother's favorite, he said, because it was the only like role that he's ever played where he got to be like a red-blooded heterosexual man, which basically meant that he tried to rape 7 of 9, but he was like a lout. Like, you know, yeah. he had women on both arms and stuff, but he said that they were at the mall. It's a really funny story that they were at the mall and in like California, I think, and they ran into Jeri Ryan with like her kids, and she was eating fried chicken, and his mom, Scott Thompson's mom, was talking about like, oh, you two would be great together, like, and he's like, mom, you know, like, no, I'm gay, and she's like, oh, no man could resist a girl like that with that figure who eats fried chicken. So that was his moms of gay guys never stop trying. Moms are alike all over, mm-hmm. no matter what.
Travelers who've left the sanctity of their home and family, we welcome you into our home and family. So I got to actually say that Janeway line to him.
Did he get it?
He totally got it.
Yeah, and he talked back as Ambassador
Tobin. This is the one thing I wish we would have done with George Takei.
Oh my.
Is bring some key scenes and reenact them with him on the podcast.
Ooh, yes.
And we will forever. We will promise you guys, if we ever get any more Star Trek actors on the podcast, like, we almost had Beverly Crusher. We came this close.
Well, yeah. We were both busy at the time. Like, it was a very small window, but yeah.
But it was, yeah.
And there is someone, yeah, we'll see. We'll see
what's going
on.
It's still a possibility.
The Scott Thompson thing gave me an idea of just, like, inviting on like fringe characters that would only be like, we'd be like, hey, we got Naomi Wildman or something, and like there'd be like four people that'd be like, hell yeah, Naomi Wildman, but like we'd really be excited, and you could be like, Naomi Wildman, coffee and nebulas.
They'd be like, Naomi, you know, the only purpose why they had you on that show is so they could have long body shots of Jeri Ryan.
Those are some nice tits on that board, queen.
Hey, Naomi Wildman, you have a fucked Ryan. Oh,
well, one thing I did get to catch up on in pop culture was I finally saw the movie The Room.
Oh, yes,
one of the world's best movie. And I also, on the plane, I got to watch The Disaster Artist too. Oh. So that was kind of fun. And I was turned on to it because they actually showed it to us, because the group kept saying to me like, "Oh, hi, Mark." Because that's because there's a line in there where the guy, Tommy, keeps going, oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah. You're tearing me apart!
And they
hi, Mark.
And then also, like, talks to Mark, and he's like, and they say, oh, Mark, mm-hmm. how's your sex? So there was, it always went like this, oh, hi, Mark, how's your sex life? Even though they were kind of, like, different things. Yes. So
The Room is a cult film that was directed, written, produced, and starred, spent over $6 million in 2003 by obscure European, possibly leather jacket tycoon named Tommy Wiseau.
No one's quite sure what Tommy Wiseau.
We don't really know where he got his money. He's still here with us in this world. He's made other films since then. And he's still very much a mysterious figure in Hollywood. And so James Franco and his brother made this beautiful tribute film that probably will be nominated for an Oscar this year.
Did it come out last year?
Yeah, it would have been nominated.
Oh, it has
James Franco, I think, did get, but it was also like right around his Me Too.
His Me Too moment. Thing. So yeah, they're just like, no, thank you.
Kim Kardashian met with Trump.
Why?
To talk about prison or like harsh prison sentences. That
well,
happened.
That's great for her. That's great.
I guess. So yeah, that happened also.
Because it aligned with her brand. Mm. But most importantly, I think it was an opportunity for me and Brian to sort of grow closer together. And
oh my God, get a room!
And no, just to get, you know, because I think sometimes, you know, when we're doing this podcast, there's so much public space, and we don't really get to know people on a very intimate level. And you know, as much as I missed you, and I was heartfeltly sad to not have you here. It was a good opportunity for me to get closer to some of the really wonderful people that do the podcast with us. So, Brian, you know, it's immeasurable what you do for the show. And you know, I certainly speak for the audience that you're very much loved and appreciated anytime you come on the program.
I'm sorry. What was that? I wasn't listening. Thank you so much, Fausto. Mark, it's wonderful. Are we wrapping up?
That's why, Mark, yeah. It's when I wonderful. Say nice things, it means yes. Get the fuck out of here.
Mark, yeah, but then you're like, Feast of Fun couldn't be possible.
Yeah, why'd you do that?
Yeah, sell it, Brian.
Yes, it's wonderful to have Mark back, even though he doesn't appear to be happy to be back.
I'm happy to be back, bitches.
In the America, the
he's
country.
He's got his nose buried on Grindr right now.
Hell yeah, he's got his nose buried in some butt. That was the best I could come up with. I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. I did talk about eating butt on the show. Maybe it'll show up.
Hell yeah.
Maybe ass. It's called ass.
The NFL is possibly going to start a rule that penalizes players that kneel. A lot of good things happen when you were gone, Mark.
We're a fascist dictatorship now.
Wow. Wow.
So, but, yeah.
There's like blog entries like, if you want to move to Canada, this is how you go about doing it.
Yeah, Justin Trudeau. Oh, yeah, Trump went to the G7 and was like, fuck all these people. And then he, like, tweeted that Justin Trudeau was a bitch. And then
did he really?
Yeah. Well, not like I'm a bitch, but he basically called him, like, a coward and a bitch. And he was like, he was real nice to me in my face, and then he wasn't, or something. And then he met Kim Jong-un the next day, and he was like, this guy's great, and he fucking licked his balls. This is where we are, man.
I'm so glad. Brian, if you get a chance to take a vacation from all this garbage that's happening, to be able to shut it out for at least for a little while, I encourage you to do so.
What about me? I'm stuck here with both of you guys.
Last year, Mary, my girlfriend, and I went to Mackinac Island in Michigan, and it was the same week that the Charlottesville neo-Nazi rally, where they drove a car into a woman and murdered her, and then Trump was like, some of these Nazis are good. So I was on vacation that, and it like hardly registered. It was like outside of what was going on because I wasn't really paying it because everything just was like, so if you are able to, if you have the money or whatever, if you're privileged enough, then get out for a few minutes.
And, yeah. Check out.
And understand like, you can feel okay about leaving every so often.
Self-care.
Yeah, right? Self-care.
We'll take care of things while you're gone.
And, like, it's bad. But also it's been, like, 100, literally 100 degrees the past couple days. And with the air conditioning just running nonstop, all I could think about is how much we need socialism so that we could just get free air conditioning for everyone. And I feel like this would be the time that, like, the Socialist Party should really strike when everyone has their AC going and they're like, hey, these electricity bills going to be really hard unless we all collectivize. And they're like, ooh. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's there go.
Yeah, at the
speak to the American public.
Are you getting drunk, Fausto?
Me? Yeah. No, why? No.
I was just wondering. He says, speak to the American public.
I don't know. That's how I talk.
I don't know. Is this stuff strong?
That's a
it's like
strong.
Vodka. It's 40. This is 40. This is 38% alcohol.
I want to say, Brian, you're a really good.
So the
friend.
Really good aquavit. They so say much. That they carry it in a ship and it has to cross like the Prime Meridian or something like that. The whatever. And yeah. So
why?
I don't know. It's
because it brews that way.
something about it being on the ship and the seawater.
It's a liqueur that's actually brewed on board a ship.
It's not brewed on board the ship.
It cures
on a ship. Yeah,
it's a good thing I had a piece of bread before we started.
Otherwise, do you want another one?
No, thank you. No? I am a little dizzy right now.
Are you gonna be okay to drive?
Yeah,
okay. Just take a nap on the. Right. Take your clothes off.
I'll drive drunk.
Take a nap on Mark's bed and everything.
I'll
be fine.
Mark and I are gonna smoke weed. Yeah. What was it like smoking weed for the first time when you got back?
What was it like?
Was it like being in love again as a young schoolboy?
What was it like, Faust? Did I smoke weed the first night I came back?
Baby, you were like, your lips are on that bong before they were on my cock. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
He was like sucking on that like it was a fucking vacuum cleaner.
Didn't you have to call and get your shit? Or did Fausto have it all ready for you?
No, I don't really smoke pot at all.
No, but I thought you'd have it ready for Mark. Like, if you'd be like, when he gets home.
There was plenty of pot still here when he came back.
Isn't it
stale?
No?
No.
Don't you want some
pot
of that?
Pot doesn't go stale.
It's fresh.
Pot does get stale.
Must be fresh.
You've never found, like, pot that's, like, a year or two old?
You can still smoke it.
No, I know, but it's not great.
No, it's a little dry, but also what you can do if you have stale pot is you can take, like, an orange peel and put it into a Ziploc bag with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It freshens it back up.
Some of our friends were like, hey, where's Mark's stash? I want to get high. And I was like, I don't know where the fuck it is.
Aw. I was like, where's Mark's dirty underwear? Oh, mm-hmm. I want to smell it and jack it while I
did
do
smell
it.
And I did sleep in Mark's bed for a couple times.
Aww.
While he was
like
gone.
Jesse. Yeah. Fausto was very annoyed that he had to keep taking Jesse out because couldn't.
He's a terrible dog. He poops like three times a day.
So what was he like when you got in? When you like walked in the door, did he just attack you?
No. We filmed it.
Was he so excited? Oh, you were like a vet coming home?
There's a beautiful photo that I can actually post now. Mm-hmm. Mark and Jesse together, and it's very intimate and very sweet. And Jesse was very appreciative.
Yeah, Foster came in, and I came in after him, and he was just, you know, Jesse gets more excited when other people come home, but there was a sweetness and a connection that was really there, and an emotion that he doesn't like. He's happy when you come over, you know, how he wags and stuff like that and does his little thing. But, you know, that's all very superficial. He doesn't really care that much about you, Brian, at all.
Oh.
But, like, with me, it was, it was very
sweet.
He
got the shakes, the happy shakes.
Yeah.
And then just immediately like, oh, like all the, you could see like the weight of the world had like been lifted from his shoulders. Because, you know, his job is to watch me. He's a shepherd. And like, I got away and he's just like, oh, shit, I didn't do my job.
But, you know, he was really good at sticking by my side.
Oh.
And he was very affectionate. Mm. At times when I was sad.
Well, in the beginning, he like
it was a good shoulder to cry on.
In the beginning, he didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember he was just sort of laying in different places.
Yeah,
and
he would sort of wait by Mark's bedroom door to be like, when's he coming home and stuff. I'm like, baby, if he does well, it'll be a long, long time. So you don't want your daddy home too soon.
Yeah, and I was like, what if Mark is the villain? On the show, I said, "What if Mark's the Omarosa?"
Somebody asked you. They said they were all. They said, "Oh, the show has a lot of stereotypes. It's always the same thing. It's like there's always just you know the pretty girl. There was the gay guy. There's the mean person. There's this person. And then they're like, which one are you?" And I said, "I'm all of them."
Huzzah,
I am every woman you'll ever need. I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support, so if you're not a Plus member yet, do it today at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen.
Remember, Mark is more woman than you'll ever be and more man than you'll ever get.
What don't
or the other way around.
And his beauty.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, but don't. Something my beauty.
Oh,
you can only get Mark Felian on Feast of Fun, and you can do that by becoming a premium subscriber and listening to 14 years of amazing podcasts starring Mark Felian.
Oh, thank you.
The star of Alt for Norge, the Great Norway Adventure, Season 9. Mm-hmm.
Was this the longest you've gone without podcasting?
Yep.
In like whatever years?
14 years.
14 years.
Was it weird or did it feel good?
He was really happy.
No, it really felt good to take a break. You know, can't wait to see what happens next year.
What is next year?
When you come back for Norway All Stars,
I'm sorry if I you fi- if my I'm sorry if my beauty I'm not sorry if my beauty is oppressive.
Yes, Brian.
Yes.
We need to get that on a shirt.
We need to get
that
on a shirt.
It's up. Listen, well, there's great merchandise coming your way from Cooking with Drag Queens, a undisclosed new reality TV show series, and Alt for Norge, all inspired by great moments on Feast of Fun, available at feastoffun.com/store, honey. Mm-hmm. So get your t-shirts, get your enamel pins and aprons and tote bags and all sorts of goodies. And you can just show the world that you love Mark Feeling as much as we do.
The sexy MF-er.
Sexy MF, baby.
Thank you, Brian.
What is a good slogan to put on a t-shirt with Mark for Norway? But let us know in the comments.
Mm-hmm. Click below to subscribe.
Goodbye, bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.